Good evening, and it's good to be able to come together this evening to study from the Word of God. I forgot to mention to Brother Bob about Josh McKibben, who preaches down at Hillview in Nashville, where some of our children go. Please keep him in mind in your prayers. He has cancer and he is hurting. He was not able to preach today, had to go into the hospital even today. So please keep him in mind as well. And I forgot to mention this morning our two graduates, little Eric and Levi. Very proud of those fine young Christian men and their accomplishments. And I hope the Lord will bless them in their new aspect of their life moving forward, their new stage, things that are ahead for them. Let's pray for them. We appreciate what they've accomplished in the past, and we look forward to good things in the future. And we're thankful to their parents for raising them in a good way. And so, congratulations to them. What strikes me about the scripture reading this evening, when I read that text, very familiar text, is that not once, but twice, the statement is made by those who are around the cross, come down from the cross. I want to talk this evening about a very basic and yet a very profound principle that goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, that's how fundamental and basic this is, and it's the principle or the question, who are you going to listen to? Who are you listening to in life? Who am I listening to? It's very basic, and yet it's very profound. If you look at the problems of mankind, down through time and as recorded in scripture, what is the fundamental problem every time? They're not listening to God, they're listening to someone else. Started with Adam and Eve, you will not surely die, the devil said, and they listened to that. And it's been a problem all the way to the present day and will continue until the Lord comes again. Who are you listening to? And it seems like as time goes on, the voices and the choices that you have become more and more as to who you can listen to. In the scripture reading this evening, Jesus did not listen to these individuals. What kept Jesus on the cross? It's also found in Mark 15. It wasn't the nails that kept him on the cross. It was his love and commitment. And it was his desire to do his Father's will and not listen to other people. Who are you listening to? We've got more and more challenges for us today with social media and other kinds of things. We have to ask ourselves, who are we listening to? And we have to raise the question, what would have happened if Jesus had listened to others and come down from the cross? What would have happened? We want to explore that this evening. You ever thought about that? What if Jesus had listened to those words and come on down? I hope we can learn some lessons this evening with regard to this, not just simply don't listen to the world, but what would happen if we did? You ever thought about that? What happens when we listen to the world? What happens when we listen to voices that are not the Word of God? And I hope that we will be instructed on such a simple yet profound principle that goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. When you're studying the life of Christ, if you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 4, when you're studying the life of Christ, I want you to not only ask yourself, what did Jesus do, but ask yourself, what did Jesus not do? When you're going through the gospel accounts, looking at the life of Jesus, ask yourself, what did he not do? What did he refuse to do? There were times in his life when he did not listen to others. He would not do what they were saying. Can you think of any examples of like that in Scripture? The devil comes to my mind when he is told to do these things, to turn stones into bread and to jump off the pinnacle of the temple and to bow down before him. He didn't listen to that. He didn't follow that. Instead, he responded with what God said, what Scripture says. Can you think of any other occasions in which somebody asked Jesus something or requested of Jesus and he didn't grant that? Turn through to Matthew chapter 16 when Jesus had been telling his disciples that he was going to go to Jerusalem and suffer there and be put on the cross. Do you remember the response in Matthew 16 and verse 22? Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall never be." But he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art a stumbling block unto me, for thou mindest not the things of God, but the things of men." He didn't listen to Peter. Peter was suggesting, no, don't go to Jerusalem. Don't do these things, Peter. Jesus said, no, get behind me, Satan. Have you ever thought about what Jesus would not do? What Jesus refused to do? Whom Jesus did not listen to? It's okay, brethren, to say no. And I want our young people, especially here this evening, to think about this. It's okay to ignore the world. To say no to the world. To say, I'm not going to do that. That's okay. Not only is it okay, it must be done. We don't have to say yes to everything. We don't have to listen to everyone. And yet we're in a world that constantly pressures us to follow what voices are there. Can you think of any other occasions? Turn with me to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. And sometimes the voices are well-intentioned. I would put Peter in that category in Matthew 16. Well-intentioned. And yet, it's not what God wants. And somebody's talking to us, and I'm sure it's well-intentioned, but it's not what God wants. Here would be another example of this, Luke chapter 9, verse 51. And it came to pass, when the days were well nigh come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem and set messengers before his face. And they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, and they did not receive him because his face was as though he were going to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, "Lord, wilt thou that we bid fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them, and they went to another village. Don't do that. We're not going to do that. You ever thought about what Jesus refused to do? What he would not do? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 21. That comes to my mind in Matthew chapter 21. The mother of James and John. Matthew 20, verse 20. Then came to him the mother of the sons of Zebedee with her sons worshiping him and asking a certain thing. And he said unto her, "What wouldest thou?" She said unto him, "Command that these my two sons may sit one on thy right hand and one on thy left in thy kingdom." Notice that he asked her. And the mother Mary might just simply say, "Well, you asked me. I'm telling you, you asked me." But that doesn't mean he has to grant that. But Jesus answered and said, "You know not what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink?" They say unto him, "We are able." He said unto them, "My cup indeed you shall drink," which is involving the coming suffering. "But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it is for them for whom it has been prepared of my Father." That's not my place to do what you've asked. I'm not going to do that. Jesus did not listen to others on occasion. And neither should we. That's why our daily Bible reading is so important. That's why regular communication with God is so important, the other voices creep in. And it's very easy. And we don't realize it. We talked about some of that this morning, brethren, with regard to denominationalism. And even among our own people from time to time, where brethren have done things that are unscriptural. Where did they get those ideas? You ever stop and think about that? If it's not coming from the Bible, where is it coming from? Well, wait a minute. These are brethren. Surely it can't be a problem. We're getting it from the world. We're getting it from other people. And sometimes we're getting it from denominations. It's not coming from the Bible. It's a very fundamental principle. Who are we listening to, even in the Lord's church? And so this evening, I want to answer the question or examine the issue if Jesus had listened to the crowd. Twice, come down from the cross. If Jesus had listened to that, what would have happened? Well, first of all, He would have been listening, let's just take the obvious one, He would have been listening to the world rather than the Father. Jesus always did His Father's will. He always listened to His Father, and He's going to do that all the way up into the very end. He's not going to change that. In John 15 and verse 15, "No longer do I call you servants," speaking to His disciples, "for the servant knows not what his Lord does, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known unto you." Jesus always listened to His Father, and He's not going to change that now. When we don't follow Scripture, we're listening to the world. We're not listening to God. That's just basic, but let's just start there. And when we listen to the world, we're listening to someone other than God, which means we're not listening to divine wisdom. We're not listening to someone who is divine, deity, all-knowing, all-powerful, is going to tell us only what is best for us. We're listening to people around us, although created in the image of God. They are not giving us the advice and the counsel and the wisdom that we need. That can come only from God. In James chapter 3, there is a wisdom from above and there is a wisdom from below. Turn with me there. And somebody says, well, the person that I'm listening to is a close friend or a family member. But still, it's coming from below, unless it's coming from the Word of God. And this wisdom from above, or the wisdom that comes down, the wisdom that is not from above, verse 15, is earthly, sensual, devilish. "For where jealousy and faction are, there is confusion in every vile deed. But the wisdom that is from above," that's God's wisdom, "is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without variance, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace for them that make for peace." You're either listening to wisdom from above or wisdom from below. And it doesn't matter what the person is saying. They might have good intentions. When they were trying to bring the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem, they put it on a new cart, 2 Samuel 6. Okay. And there's good intentions there, and the best, and all of that, but it's not what God wanted. Sometimes what we're listening to on the surface sounds good. It sounds like it makes sense, and that sometimes is what has happened with regard to the Lord's church. Some of the things that were implemented, you're going, well, you know, that kind of makes sense. When the sponsoring church was first brought about around 1952, my father heard that in a lectureship at an Abilene Christian University. He took the long drive home from Abilene all the way down to McAllen, Texas. On the way, he's telling me this later,
on the way, he's thinking, that's a great idea. If you could just get all churches of Christ to give to one Broadway church in Abilene, and then they can go do a work, we could get a lot done that way. And he's thinking, man, that is awesome. So he gets back home, and he's talking with his good friend Wayne Partain, maybe we ought to be doing this. But there was a member of the church, Earl Dale, older brother. He said, Dad, he didn't say Dad. He said, Bill Reeves. He said, Bill, why don't you come by and we need to talk about this. And he said, just show me in the pattern, show me in the New Testament where churches worked through one church. I know it sounds like it makes sense, but just show me where they ever did that. And Dad was like, oh, I hadn't thought about that. We got to go by the pattern. We can't just go by what sounds good and what seems like a... I mean, after all, we do it in the business world or we do it in other areas of our life where a lot of things work through one thing. You're thinking efficiency, right? Efficiency, and you're thinking structure and how we... But you still have to ask the question, where's the Bible authority? So he listened to some folks, and at the very beginning it sounded good, just like that new cart, I'm pretty certain probably sounded good. But who are we listening to? Some of the ones that we're listening to could be even our brethren or our close friends. But that doesn't mean it's biblical. So let's just start with the obvious. He would have been listening to someone other than God. And that can be a problem. Regardless of how well-meaning and well-intentioned and what I feel and what I think and what I believe, we still, at the end of the day, have to go by what does the Scripture say. But let's look at another matter. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. He would have been satisfying himself. He would have been satisfying himself. And we live in a very selfish world. We live in a world that says, do what makes you feel good and what I feel and what I think. And here's Jesus hanging on the cross and they're saying, come down from the cross. And he's thinking, you know, I can prove a point if I would do that. Or I would feel this way. But he didn't do that. And all the way to the cross was a matter of being selfless, not selfish. And this selfless attitude is what Paul says we are to have. Philippians 2:5, have this mind, or your version might say attitude, in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God, counted it not the being on an equality with God, a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself. He was selfless. He didn't get rid of his deity. He took himself out of the way. I'm not going to be selfish, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man. He humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death, yea, the death of the cross. It was always about being selfless. That goes back to verse 2 and 3 and 4. Selflessness. He would have been satisfying self. And often that is the case today. We hear something out in the world, and when we latch onto it, it's because it's something that we want. We must always fight that and resist that. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10, the Hebrew writer, speaking of Jesus coming, fulfilling that psalm. And Jesus coming to be a sacrifice. Wherefore, when he comes into the world, this is fulfilled in Jesus. He saith, sacrifice and offering thou would not, but a body didst thou prepare for me. In whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, this is as if Jesus is now speaking in fulfillment of this prophecy, I am come, in the roll of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. That's why I'm here. To do your will. Didn't he pray that in the Garden of Gethsemane right before going to the cross? And then here he would be, just Hours later, Father, not my will be done, but thy will be done. And then hours later, well, I'm going to do what I want.
We have to listen to God's word. When we listen to the world, it's often because we're wanting to satisfy self. And we have to guard against that. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2 when Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost with regard to the death of Jesus. Had Jesus listened to the crowd, he would have stopped God's plan and gone against Scripture. It was God's plan that he go to the cross. And there was Scripture that was spoken even some 700 years before the time of Christ in Isaiah 53 and other passages saying that the Messiah would come and he would die for the sins of the world. And then here is Jesus saying, well, you know, we're just going to throw out hundreds of years of Scripture. We're just going to toss that because right here at the last moment, I just feel like I want to do something different. Brethren, when we listen to the world, we're stopping God's plan and we're going against what Scripture wants for us in our lives. Peter preached in Acts 2 involving Jesus, him, Jesus, being delivered up, verse 23, by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. This is what God wanted. And brethren, there are things in Scripture that God wants for us in our life. And when we listen to the world, we're going against Scripture and we're not doing what God wants for us in our life. He wants us to be baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins. That's what He wants. Well, the world tells me I don't have to do that. Do what He wants. And as a Christian, all of the things that we're supposed to be with regard to the salt of the earth and the light of the world and Acts 8:4, spreading the gospel in other places and living a righteous life and all of the responsibilities of corporate worship here together, and individualized, and what He wants for our marriage, and what He wants for our parenting and our families, and how to be a fine young Christian and live with purity in our lives. All of that is what God wants. But when we listen to the world, we just toss that out the window and say, well, you know, I'm going to go do something else. And we have Scripture now in the New Testament that is some 2,000 years old. 2,000 years! We need to be following that and not be doing anything that would hinder God's plan in our life. Turn with me to Mark chapter 8 and verse 31. If Jesus had listened to the crowd, He would have gone against His own word. He had said on more than one occasion that He was going to go to Jerusalem and go to the cross. And He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And be killed and after 3 days rise again. If He had come down off that cross, He would have been going against what He had said. And brethren, isn't that the case with regard to our lives today in listening to the world? We make a commitment when we're baptized into Christ. We tell people, I'm a Christian, meaning a follower or disciple of Christ. And then we listen to the world. We're not doing what we say. And we make claims. well, we follow the New Testament only, and then we listen to the world and we don't follow the New Testament only. We're going against our word. We say things as Christians. We make claims. We pronounce truths. Don't down the road listen to the world and then go back on what you said. That's basically what we're doing. Jesus had already said, I'm going to die. And he carried that all the way out. What claims are you and I making to others? Whatever they are, let's fulfill those truthful claims that are found in the Word of God, and let's not listen to the world. Sometimes a person says, well, you know, we ought to pray to God, and then we don't pray. Or we need to obey the gospel, and then we don't obey the gospel. And then we need to live a pure and righteous life, and then we don't do that because we listen to the world. We need to put God first. And then we listen to the world where we don't put God first on Sunday or something like that. He would have gone against his own word. And may we never do that by listening to the world. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. I think sometimes we don't realize that if we listen to the world, who it is exactly that we're listening to. I don't think we fully think about that. You know, I see something on social media or a movie or music or something out here in culture. We don't really stop and think, who are these people that are asking me to do something? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, in verse 1, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run and be glorified, even as also it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and evil men, for all have not faith. Jesus would have been doing what unreasonable sinners are demanding of him. These are people at the base of the cross who rejected him. We'll talk about that in a minute. They don't want to have anything to do with him. They're ungodly, even though they're in a religious garb. They are ungodly. Jesus had rebuked them in Matthew 23, that inwardly they're full of dead men's bones. They're ungodly people, and they're the ones making the demands. Brethren, when we listen to the world, we're letting ungodly, unreasonable sinners set the terms for us. And may we never do that. Adam and Eve let the devil, dictate their life. That's why Paul said in Ephesians 4, give no place to the devil. Don't give place to something, a voice that is coming from someone who's not right with God. Well, they're my friends. They're not right with God. Well, you know, they're professional athletes, or they're movie stars, or they're really popular musicians, or whatever. They're lost sinners, and you're letting them dictate your life. We need to think about that. And we need to act accordingly and follow only what God wants us to do. Turn with me to Luke chapter 22 and verse 67. Let's look at something else that would have happened if Jesus had listened to the crowd. A lot of times when people out in the world want us to do things, they appear on the surface to be in our corner, so to speak. We're all behind you, Chris, you know. We're there to back you up. We're on your side, man. But they're not. They're not. And stop and think about the people that are making this statement. Back in Matthew chapter 27, these are religious people. Matthew chapter 27. Verse 39, wagging their heads and so forth, you destroyed the temple. Verse 41, in like manner also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders. But who are these people? Who are these people? What were they saying about Jesus just a few hours earlier during the Jewish trial? What were they saying? And just earlier that week, what were they saying? And the week before, and the month before, he would have been listening to people that have no guarantee that they would have kept their word. What are they saying in Matthew chapter 27? In Matthew chapter 27, if you come down from the cross, what? What did they say? He trusteth on, let him come now down from the cross, verse 42, and we will believe on him. Really? They had had some 3.5 years, some of them, and they didn't believe on him. This is a very, very important point, and especially for our young people. You have voices telling you to do things and encouraging you to do things, but they're going to use a modern-day expression, they're going to throw you under the bus. Don't you listen to that. They're going to throw you under the bus. Well, if you come do stuff with us, we'll be your friend, and we'll support you in this, and we'll help you with that, and everything will be fine. You're listening to people who are not right with God, and there is no guarantee that they're going to keep their word. So look with me now at Luke 22, verse 67. Just earlier in the evening, when Jesus is on trial, if thou art the Christ, tell us. But he said unto them, if I tell you, you will not believe. And if I ask you, you will not answer. This is not, come down from the cross and we'll believe. These are not believers. And Jesus called them out on it earlier in the evening. On another occasion in the book of John, they said, tell us plainly if you're the Christ. He said, I told you plainly, but you will not believe. Brethren, we're talking about people in the world that just say things. They just say things. But that doesn't mean they're going to come through with what's being said. Their promises are going to fall short. And what they're laying out there that's going to just be this great thing, it's not going to happen. I have jotted down all of these passages in the book of John. If you go through the book of John, there's a statement, not believe and believe not. Each of these passages up here have a, you will not believe or you believe not. Look at how many times that is in the book of John. And by the way, the book of John is a book about how that we can believe in Christ. But over and over again, Jesus just called people out, you will not believe on me. He didn't come down from the cross because he knew that the people saying it had for earlier that evening and for years, had not believed on him. They're not going to change their mind at the last. Well, man, if he had come down from the cross, just think about a body sort of like almost levitating off of that, and come, man, that would be spectacular. No, what happened in John 11 when Jesus raised Lazarus? What did they do? They wanted to get rid of Lazarus because people were following Jesus and believing on him. Let's get rid of Lazarus, they said. So even if he had just like looked like he's levitating off and floating down, that doesn't mean that they're going to follow him. Over and over again in the book of John, Jesus said, you will not believe. Some people just will not believe. And so there's no guarantee, young people, when the world is telling you to do this and telling you to do that and everything's going to be a bed of roses and all of that, don't listen to that. There's no guarantee of what they're saying. It's coming from people that are not right with God. And then one last point in the lesson is yours. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. If Jesus had listened to the crowd, he would not have been a blessing to the entire world. If you want to know how to really help people, young people, if you really want to know how to be a blessing and how to be an example and how to really make an impact in your generation and that kind of thing, follow the Word of God. Listen to the Word of God. Jesus died. One died for all. Therefore all died. And he died for all that they that live should no longer live unto themselves, but unto him who for their sakes died and rose again. Jesus died for all. Everybody has an opportunity to be saved because of Jesus' death, but if Jesus had come down off that cross, he wouldn't have been a blessing literally to the entire world. And that's how we are a blessing to our community and our family members and our spouses and our children and our friends. It's when we listen to God, not to the world. If we really want to be a blessing, if we really want to make an impact, if we really want to help others around us, we do it by listening to God's word and will, not the world. When we listen to the world, our opportunities to bless others are shortened. They're shortened, and if not taken away altogether. Who do you listen to every day? Who do I listen to? I want to close with Mark chapter 4, if you'll turn with me there, the well-known parable of the sower, and then we'll close this evening. It's a very fundamental, basic, simple principle, but it's extremely profound because it goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Who are you going to listen to? And I'm so thankful. Aren't you thankful to Jesus this evening that he didn't listen to the crowd? Aren't you thankful for that? You and I get to sit here this evening, forgiven of our sins, if we will obey the gospel, forgiven of our sins, because Jesus didn't listen to the world. What a great thing that is. One of the first parables that Jesus ever taught was on this very matter. Look at Mark chapter 4, and I wanted to use Mark's account because in Mark chapter 4, there's an interesting thing here. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 3, the American Standard says, hearken. The newer versions say, listen. Do you know what's interesting about the parable of the sower? The parable of the sower is a parable about listening. But before he tells the parable of the sower, he says, listen. Listen! And then he tells them a parable about listening. The most fundamental of all of the parables is this one. In fact, Jesus says, I begin with this one because it's fundamental. It has to do with listening to God. And in verse 3, he says, listen. And then in verse 9, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear what I've just said about hearing. And when you look at the parable of the sower that you're very familiar with, look at Mark chapter 4, verse 14 through 20. Do you remember that in all four soils, Jesus uses the word hear? It's all about hearing. Are we going to hear God's word and do it? Verse 15, when they have heard. Verse 16, when they have heard the word. Okay? Verse 18, when they have heard. And verse 20, and they hear. It's all about, are we going to hear God's word or something else or someone else? How do we listen to God? I'll close with this thought. Number one, I'm going to give you three simple things to do with regard to listening to God and not listening to the world. Number one, we need to be intentional. We have to focus. It's kind of like my sermons. I got to focus. Especially when it's a long-winded one. We have to be intentional. We have to say, I'm going to focus. There's a lot of noise out there, a lot of noises. And I would suggest literally trying to get some quiet time in our lives every day. Just get some quiet time. Put the phone down, turn the TV off or whatever. Just get some quiet time and focus. Just focus. So number one, we've got to be intentional. Number two, we have to be open. We have to have open minds. This deals with reception. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, the Bereans were noble because they with readiness of mind, Luke says, with readiness of mind, they examined the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Readiness of mind. I've got to have an open mind and that is receptive, and that's what the parable of the sower is. So number one, I've got to be intentional. That speaks to focus. Number two, I've got to be open. That speaks to reception. And number three, I have to be trusting. This is God speaking to me, and I trust the message, and I'm going to go out and obey it. Who are you listening to? Who am I listening to? I'm so grateful that there were some things that Jesus refused to do. I'm glad he didn't listen to the crowd. And we're the beneficiaries of that. And when we leave this evening and we go out this week, let's be listening to God, not the world. Our young people, we've got great young Christians here, and I appreciate all that you are doing. We want other young people to become Christians. One of the greatest challenges you face in your life are all these voices. And it seems like they just continue to multiply and proliferate as time goes on. All the different messages and the ease in which it comes into our life and how quick it comes into our life and the large amounts of it that comes into our life. And we've got to learn, like Jesus, sometimes it's okay to say, I'm not going to listen to that. No, I'm just going to listen to God. And that will help us all the way to heaven. If we can help you in some way this evening to respond to the gospel or come back to the Lord in some way, why won't you come as we stand and sing?